Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bav Metzia Daf Mem Amud Aleph at the 7th Mishnah and then later the 8th Mishnah of the 3rd Perek, and both of them deal with a common topic, which is how much loss is to be expected from foodstuffs which are given to a shomer. And therefore, when the shomer returns it, the owner should expect and accept upon himself that that amount of food will be lost. So Mishnah Zayin, v'kid peirot etzel chavera, reizi yotzil o chesronot. So you take the deduction. L'chitim u'la'orez, how much is it for wheat and rice? Tish'a chatzei kabin l'kur. So it's 9 half kabin for a kur. Remember, a kur is 30 sa'ah, and there's 6 kabin in a sa'ah. So I put the math down, it's 2.5% of loss. The sorina the duchan, but for barley and for millet, tishaka bin likur, it's twice as much loss, about 5% will be lost. The kusminu the zera pishtan, for spelt and for flaxseed, shalosh se'in likur, that's 10%. Hakol afi amidah, hakol afi azman, the Gemara will discuss what that phrase means. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is under the impression that all of this loss is because of little animals coming in and stealing, and therefore a ratio really doesn't make sense. Mice are going to eat the same amount, whether it's from a large amount or a small amount. So it shouldn't be a ratio. It should be a simple amount. So he says, one kor, which is a huge amount, is the only amount you could take out. So you could say that there'll be 9 kabin, for instance, of barley, but even if there's 10 kor, it's still 9 kabin, and it won't be 90 kabin. We won't do a ratio. That's Rabbi Yochanan Nuri. If it was a large amount, we'll see how much a large amount is, then you don't deduct, because this is the sort of thing that puffs up and grows, and therefore whatever is lost is more than made up for by what grows in it. Now, Orez Tuvachaser, the Gemara immediately challenges by saying, when you're dealing with rice, a lot gets lost. We're talking about peeled rice, where the husks are not the issue, it's just the rice itself. When I talk about flaxseed, we're talking about flaxseed that's in its shoots. So we find a braita which talks about unpeeled or unhusked or rice, and also about zera pishtan, which is in the shoots, as being 3 se'ah l'kor, which is the shear that we had. Now, kol afi amidah, tana, kein l'chol kur v'kur, v'chein l'chol shana v'shana. So the phrase, kol afi amidah, kol afi azman, doesn't mean, kol afi azman, meaning what season it was, etc., but rather, kol afi amidah, it's a ratio, and the kol azman means that this is per annum, this is the amount per annum. Rabbi Yochanan Nuri had his challenge, tana, Rabbi Yochanan, they responded and said as follows, harbe avdot mehen, harbe mitpazot mehen. It's not just mice. There's normal loss. You move things from one place to another. A few seeds fall, a few things disperse. Tana medvar memorim she'irvanim perotav. But now we have something new to pay attention to, which is the entire premise of the Mishnah doesn't really make sense if you keep the pikadon separate, because he gave it to you and you just give it back to him as is. Whatever is lost is lost. Aval yeched lo keren zavid, if you put it in a separate place, so melo reshachal fonecha, just give it to him. Chirvanim perotav mayhave. So what if he mixed it with his perot? Lechse the didei kamhave. And just let's find out how much is his perot, and everything else is the other guy's. The answer is b'mistapek miyam. That's if he was taking from his own perot, so we don't know how much of it is his own perot. You know, he originally put 5 siyah there, but he's been using it. Now, v'lechse kamistapek. Why don't we see how much he used? So he doesn't know how much he used. So he had 5 siyah of perot there. Over the course of the year, he took some. He doesn't know how much he took, so therefore he can't deduct and figure out how much is the other guy's, so we have to go back to what the other guy originally gave him and then deduct this amount of loss. Rabbi Yehuda said if it's a midam ruba, a large amount, then you don't take anything off. How much a large amount? Rabbi Yochanan, asara kurin, 10 kur. We have a bright that says the same thing. Now, Tani Tana kamed Rav Nachman, so Tana taught in front of Nachman, this entire Mishnah, which of course is only if you mixed it with your own, and only if you took from your own, and you don't know how much you took from your own, and it's not a midam ruba. Also, one other limitation is this is only if he gave you the pikadon at the goren, and you returned it at the Goren, because you have certain kind of vessels. But if you returned it from your house, why? Because the vessels you use in your house are smaller, and you actually end up giving him back what looks like more. So Rav Nachman turned to the Tan and said, "We're dealing with imbeciles. They give it in a large vessel and take it back in a small vessel. That's just silly. Anybody over the age of 4 or 5 years old can figure out that you're not going to have the same amount in the vessels. So Dilma Motek Goren Kamart. Maybe he says to the Tana, maybe you didn't mean in the Goren, but during the season of the Goren. So then fix it. So if you lent it to you entrusted it to him, let's say in June, and it's the next June you got it back, then the vessels are going to be the same and the wheat will be the same. But if you took it from June and returned it to him in November, because the kelim that you use at that time are going to be larger. Not the kelim, but rather the fruit, because of the rain that's around it puffs up and it takes up more space. Papa labayim ken lifka kada. So Papa says, "Labay, if that's the case, then the vessel should burst." So he says, "You know what? It happened once that the vessel burst because he returned it to him, put it back in the same kli in the rainy season, and the stuff had all gotten sort of bloated." The other reason it burst was maybe because of the stuff was packed in very tightly. Okay, the next Mishnah, which continues on the same theme, is Yotzilo Shtut Liayin. If you, entrust wine, then 1/6 of the wine, we're going to assume, is going to be gone. It gets absorbed in the cask, etc. Piyonomer Chomesh, he says 1/5, which is even a greater amount. Yotzilo Shlosha Lugin Shemen Lamea, and 3 Lugin out of 100, I mean the 3% of oil. Why? Logomechza shmarim, because 1.5% is going to be dregs, and 1.5% logomechza bela is absorption in the barrel. Now, imaya shemen mizukak, if it was distilled shemen, which is there's no dregs, and you'd say lo shmarim, then you don't take that 1.5% out. Mayukan kanim shanim, if you have old barrels, and you'd say lo bela, then you don't take out the absorption rate. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, he says something that's unclear if he's disagreeing or not. If you sell distilled oil all year, he still accepts that there's going to be 1.5 lugin less per 100 of what he buys, and it seems to be because of the dreg. So it sounds like he's disagreeing with Tanakama and saying that there's always, even if it's distilled, there's distilled oil, there's still going to be 1.5% of dregs in it. It's possible, on the other hand, like the Ravid says, that Rabbi Yehuda has only mentioned this in a case where you don't explicitly condition the sale on it being mizukak, but you happen to know that it's mizukak. But we'll see the Gemara will deal with this. Now, the Gemara first says velo pligi. Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, who say whether it's a sixth or a fifth for wine, don't disagree. Markiatre, each one is just reflecting their own location and the way that wine was preserved. Beatre Demar, in Tanakama's place, Chafu Bekira, they would use wax or paraffin to seal it. Velomayitz Tve, it doesn't absorb as much. Beatre Demar, but in Rabbi Yehuda's place, Chafu Bekufa, they would use tar. Mayitz Tve, it would absorb more. Baitema, or possibly Shum Gargishta, it's because of the kind of earth that was used to make the earthenware barrel that it was put in. Ha Mayitz Tve, Vahalo Mayitz Tve, some of the earth was more absorbing, some less. Be'atred Rav Yehuda, we hear a story. Ramu arbaim v'tamne kuzit v'dana. They would put 48 cups of wine they would fit into a typical barrel. Azil dana mashita zuzi. And a barrel costs 6 zuz. You could do the math. So paris Rav Yehuda shita zuzi. So what Rav Yehuda did was he bought a barrel for 6 zuz. And then he divided them up into 6, which means he had 8 sets of 6 cups. And he sold them each for a zuz, which means dal tlatin shita v'shita b'shita. So 36 of the cups, in other words, 3/4 of what he had in there, he sold to make up what he bought. Pashul treso, he had 12 left over. Dal tmanya shtute. Remember, there's another 8/6 here that we said are going to be lost as a result of the barrel. So Pashto Arba, so what you have left is 4. In other words, his profit margin on 48 was 4. Ayar Shmuel Mistaker Yistaker Yitzar Al Shtut. And the implication is that Shmuel said, when you're dealing with food, you should not have more than a sixth of a profit margin. The idea is you should have at least a sixth. The answer is Ika Gulfi with Shmaraya, but the answer is he got to keep the barrel, and he also keeps the Shemarim. So Yachi Nafish Leitz Femishtut, if that's the case, he's earning more than a sixth. The answer is Ika Tir Chaver of Dmei Barzanata. First of all, there's his labor involved, and second of all, he had to buy the tap to tap into the wine. So it comes out to be a sixth. Okay, Ima Yashem Mizukak Ada Eno Yotzelo Shmarim. If the Mitana Kama said that if the oil was distilled, then you don't discount that 1.5%. Ah, Vayif Shur Lobala. And then the rest of it was if they are old barrels, you don't count that out. Ah, Vayif Shur Lobala. But it always absorbs something. Nachman B'mezufa Finshana. We're talking about barrels that are tarred, so nothing gets absorbed. Abayamar Filuteva Shalom Zufa Fin. Abay says it could even not be tarred. Cave on the tone, once the thing is old and it's absorbed, it can't absorb anymore. The walls of the barrel absorbed all they're going to absorb. So we saw Yudah's line at the end of the Mishnah, which says, when you sell oil at any time, the buyer accepts that whatever he pays is going to be 1.5% lower based on the dregs. Amar Abaye, Kshetim Silom Adiv Rabbi Yehuda Mutal Arev Shmarim, Adiv Racham Masul Arev Shmarim. So Abaye wants to make the following observation. According to Rabbi Yehuda, based on what he says here, a seller is allowed to, if he has distilled oil, he's allowed to mix in the dregs. And according to Chacham, he's not allowed to mix in the dregs. Let's see how he does that. He says as follows. That's why the buyer accepts that there's 1.5% lower. Because the seller says, the seller says, I could mix in dregs. So accept it now as 1.5% lower without the dregs. So why doesn't the buyer say back to the seller, if you had mixed it in, then you could have sold it that way. What am I going to do with the dregs now? Can't sell them separately. So, in other words, the buyer could say to the seller, look, if you want to mix it in, mix it in, but don't sell me short of what I bought. The answer is, we're talking about an end user. He's happier, and it's worth it for him to lose the 1.5% and have pure oil where he doesn't have to start sifting it through. So why doesn't the buyer just say to the seller, the fact you did not stick the dregs in there and mix them in proves that you are mochel, that right that you have of lowering at 1.5%, and now you have to give it to me. The answer is, Rabbi Yehuda l'tameid, leitle mechila. Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't assume mechila. A person could always be mochel. We don't assume mechila. How do we know Rabbi Yehuda says that? Did not. It's the Mishnah at the beginning of the fifth parak of Batra. Machar lo tatzemed. If a person sells, this is the fourth parak and the fifth parak, the sixth parak, all deal with, if a person sells, states he's going to sell something, what should be assumed to be included? So if a person sells tzemed, now tzemed means a pair, and normally means a team of oxen. Or it could mean the yoke, which is a lot less money. So if machar lo tzemed, lo machar lo tabakar, that doesn't include the oxen. Machar lo tabakar, lo machar lo tzemed. If you sell the oxen, doesn't include the yoke. Rabbi Yehuda omer adam imodin. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you see how much he paid. And that'll tell you. If a guy says, sell me your tzemed, which might be the yoke, for 200 zoos, we all know that a yoke doesn't cost 200 zoos. He must have meant the animals, too. And therefore, that's what you have to pay him, or give him, or cancel the deal. Chum say the amount of money is not a proof. Why? So the Chachamim say it's not a proof because Chachamim say you could be mochel. You could say, I want your tzemet for 200 zoos and you're being mochel the fact that the tzemet only costs 5 zoos and you're going to pay the rest. Rebbe says, no, we don't assume mechila. And therefore, if the price you paid is a price that we don't, market value includes the yoke and the animals, that's what you're buying. Now, the Yivrei Chachamim Abai continues, Asur l'Rev Shmarim, you're not allowed to mix them. Why? At a time at the Loma Kabbal, that's why a buyer doesn't accept 1.5%. And a buyer should get the full amount. Because the buyer says to the seller, you wouldn't have the rights to mix it in. Therefore, I don't accept 1.5% less. That's Abaye. Rav Papa turns to his Rebbe and says, it's the opposite. According to Chachamim, who say a person is not mekabel 1.5% less than what they paid for oil, that's because you're allowed to mix shvarim. Time to lo makabel. Why doesn't the person accept it? Damarle, midelo arvatli achuli achlitli. The fact you didn't mix it in proves that you're mochalat to me. You're allowed to mix shmarim, and the fact you didn't means you're mochlid, and so therefore I should get the full amount. According to Rabbi Yehuda, now we have to say you're not allowed to mix shmarim. That's why you're makabalit. If the seller will say, I don't have the rights to mix it in, kabuli lo makabalat, and you're not going to accept the loss, zovun vezovin tigra ikri. I should sell and buy things for the same price just to be called a salesman? To be called a merchant? That's an aphorism which basically says, if I'm not going to make a profit, there's no reason to do this. So if you're telling me I can't mix the dregs in and you won't accept 1.5 loss, that means that I'm selling at cost. All right, so it could be that it goes the other way. Now, Tana, Echad halokech v'echad hamafkid l'fikatim. That both a buyer and a mafkid have the rule of pikatim, which is seeds that float to the top. What does that mean? Just like a buyer doesn't accept that there's going to be seeds floating on top, olive seeds. So the same thing with the mafkid. Wait a second. Why doesn't the mafkid just say to the owner, you've got your seeds in there, so what? It's the opposite. Just like a mafkid assumes there's going to be some seeds, so a buyer also assumes there'll be some seeds. Since when does a lokeach accept that? That the notion of shemen achur, of non-distilled, that the idea of mixing in, that if it's mixed in, that it's not distilled, that's only vis-a-vis the mocher. Because he accepts 1.5, that's Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, without seeds. So you see, a lokach does not accept seeds. So lokach, how do you have lezuzi b'tishrei v'koshak l'mine b'nisan? If you buy the oil in Tishrei at the end of the harvest, and you only pick it up from in Nisan, which is now after the olives have been pressed and everything else, and you pick it up then, k'midah d'tishrei, and you buy it based on the amount that you bought in Tishrei, then you got a good deal, so you accept the seeds. If, on the other hand, you paid him in Nisan, and you took it from him in Kalim, the normal amount is of Nisan, you're paying the top dollar, therefore you really don't accept seeds. So sometimes a lokach will, sometimes a lokach won't, and therefore the statement, echad a lokach, echad a mafkid, means, just like a lokach, in those circumstances, does accept that there'll be some seeds. So the same thing with the mafkid, that there's going to be some seeds in it. Okay, we'll pause at this point. Pick up Mirza Shemet Mishta Tet as we move on towards the end of Perak HaMafkid. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.